This week, the Paris-based global press freedom group Reporters Without Borders published its annual World Press Freedom Index ahead of World Press Freedom Day, which falls next Thursday. Now, this isn't a measure of good or bad journalism, but the level of freedom available to journalists, the independence of the media in each country, and the range and variety of media sources. Countries at the bottom of the list have almost no free press to speak of, and some pretty repressive means of making sure that one doesn't develop. China, Syria, and North Korea are all in the bottom five. And this year, New Zealand was a respectable number eight. We appear on the map in white, which means good. But in 2016, we were better, up there with Finland, the Netherlands, Norway, and Denmark in the top five. And the year before that, we came in sixth. But last year, New Zealand plummeted out of the top 10 in the World Press Freedom Index, all the way down to 13th place. So what was the problem? Well, Reporters Without Borders said
the authorities blocked a proposed merger between the country's two biggest media groups, thereby providing media pluralism and independence with new guarantees. At the same time, investigative reporting should soon be strengthened by a law protecting whistleblowers, a good example to follow.
So, is everything rosy then for media freedom in New Zealand? Not quite. Reporters Without Borders also said
the media continue to demand changes to the Official Information Act, which obstructs the work of journalists by allowing government agencies a long time to respond to information requests.
And that is certainly not a new concern. Media management plays a big part in this. Delays take the sting out of politically sensitive and newsworthy details. For example, earlier this month in April, the New Zealand Herald's reporter Matt Nippett revealed that the New Zealand Defence Force had spent millions on controversial spying software produced by the secretive Silicon Valley firm Palantir. When the Herald first requested that information last January, they got this reply.
The Defence Force neither confirms nor denies the existence or non-existence of the information you have requested.
But the New Zealand Defence Force itself had already reported that relationship with Palantir in its own publication, Army News, and a briefing on its website dating back to December 2015 detailed the use of Palantir's analytical tools. The New Zealand Defence Force was only forced to disclose the spending by the Ombudsman after they refused for more than a year to reveal the extent of the links to the company. This past week, another Herald reporter, David Fisher, reported that other documents released by the New Zealand Defence Force after investigations by the Office of the Ombudsman showed that the former Prime Minister John Key had wrongly been guaranteed there would be no civilian casualties during Operation Burnham in Afghanistan, the operation that's now the subject of a government inquiry prompted by the book Hit and Run. In this case, the New Zealand Defence Force was willing to make public the documents at that time, but not John Key or his Defence Minister at that time, Wayne Mapp. A handwritten note on the front of the memo says this:
PM and Minister agreed not to release this information into the media.
And that was 7 years ago. Both men have since left politics. Now, David Fisher at the Herald is no stranger to this kind of official information frustration. At an event called The Moment of Truth in the run-up to the 2014 election, NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden revealed Project Speargun, a plan to intercept internet traffic in and out of New Zealand. At the time, John Key rubbished the claims. He said he personally put a stop to what he called this highest form of protection way back in March 2013. It was too intrusive, he said. But investigative reporter David Fisher eventually acquired the official documents that showed Speargun had actually continued after the time John Key said he'd ordered a halt to it. And eventually is the key word. It took almost 3 years to get the information he needed. John Key had left politics by the time David Fisher's story came out. Toby Manhire of the independent news website The Spinoff hit the nail on the head when he wrote this.
What a shame it would be if the lesson of all this was that all you need to do is waste enough time until everyone has something else to worry about.
In its annual World Press Freedom Review, Reporters Without Borders did note that a new chief ombudsman here seems more willing to force the release of unjustifiably withheld public information. Peter Bosher has also started naming and shaming government departments who are dragging the chain. Just last month, he launched four investigations into the official information practices of the Ministry for Culture and Heritage, the Ministry for the Environment, the Department of Conservation and Land Information New Zealand. And he says the outcome of these investigations will be released this year to provide the public with continuing trust and confidence in public sector agencies and to outline the standards to which government agencies should aspire. However, it remains to be seen if the current government will observe the letter of the law and the spirit of it. Reporters Without Borders has also noted that the new government is now exploring whether the law to protect whistleblowers at work needs to be strengthened. And let's hope any changes to the Protected Disclosures Act of 2000 does recognise a role for the media and protects people who pass on information to them where the public interest is in play. But in 2017, a new law overhauling the powers of our spy agencies created a new offence for people passing on classified information on a confidential basis. The changes make it easier for people to make a protected disclosure to the Inspector General of Intelligence and Security, but those who pass on any information to journalists could face up to 5 years in jail. Now, this law has yet to be tested, but it will be a brave member of the intelligence services who leaks any information to the media on that basis. And journalists here will also have the added worry of possible prosecution themselves if they're pressed to reveal their sources.